Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Monday, June 10th, 2024. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by iMazing. Today was the kickoff of WWDC 2024, so we have a lot to talk about. Let's get started with Vision OS 2. Vision OS 2.0 includes a few notable new features for Apple Vision Pro. First, there's something called Spatial Photos, where you can turn existing photos in your library to immersive 3D spatial photos, with Apple using machine learning to separate the subject of the photo from the background to create a 3D effect. There are also new gestures in Vision OS 2.0. With your hand facing up, you can tap your thumb and your index finger together to go to the home view, and with your hand flipped over, you can tap to go to Control Center. There is also new features for Mac Virtual Display included in Vision OS 2.0. Coming later this year, Vision OS 2.0 will upgrade Mac Virtual Display with a higher resolution and larger size, creating an ultra-wide display that's equivalent to two 4K monitors side by side. Vision OS 2 also includes a new Bora Bora immersive environment, upgrades to Safari, the Apple TV app, new workflows for developers creating apps for Vision Pro and for content creators creating content for the platform, and finally, upgrades to guest mode to make it easier to share Vision Pro with the people around you. Vision OS 2.0 is available starting today in beta testing and will launch to everyone in September. Next up, let's talk about WatchOS. WatchOS 11 isn't as feature-rich as its predecessor, but it does come with a number of useful improvements to make it easier to use the Apple Watch every day. WatchOS 11 will finally enable taking a rest day with your activity rings without losing track of an important streak. In the past, even if you had to take a day off because of an illness or some other commitment, you would lose your activity ring streak altogether. You can also now set custom activity ring goals for different days of the week, so you can push for higher goals on the days you know you'll have more time, and set more realistic goals for other days. Training load is a new feature in which Apple will estimate your effort rating following every workout. This rating will use your vital readings during the workout session to help you understand where you could have pushed yourself harder or stood to have eased up a little bit. Apple is also upgrading the Photos watch face in WatchOS 11 to make sure it always displays the best photos, but without making you do the work of finding those photos. Instead, WatchOS 11 will use intelligence features to present the best photos for your watch face to surprise and delight you every time. There's also a brand new Vitals app that Apple says is a new way to view your health data and to make important decisions about your health and fitness. The Vitals app takes into account data including your heart rate, your respiratory rate, your wrist temperature, sleep duration, and blood oxygen. The Vitals app can easily send you a notification if two or more of your metrics are out of their typical range, and you can use it to check in and view trends and other data on how the numbers have changed over time. Finally, WatchOS 11 is also bringing updates to the Smart Stack widgets that were first introduced in WatchOS 10. There are new widgets for things like Shazam, Photos, and Distance, and the Smart Stack can also now suggest widgets based on time of day, the date, location, daily routines, and more. There's also now support for live activities on the Apple Watch within the Smart Stack interface. WatchOS 11 also brings other new features for the workout app. Apple Maps now offers hiking directions with turn-by-turn guidance for all U.S. national parks. There's improvements to Apple Wallet, new features for Apple Cash, and more. WatchOS 11 Beta 1 is available today to developers with a public beta in July and a public launch in September. Now let's dive into iOS 18. The headlining focus of iOS 18, other than artificial intelligence, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is customization. As expected, iOS 18 adds a number of new ways to customize your iPhone's home screen. You can now arrange apps and widgets in any open space on your home screen, so you don't have to fill every spot on the grid, giving you more flexibility on where to place your icons and widgets. App icons and widgets can also now take on a new look with a dark or tinted effect that you can customize to match the overall aesthetic of your iPhone personalization. Essentially, this gives you a way to theme your iPhone's home screen with a color scheme of your choosing. It also ties into dark mode and can turn your app icons dark when dark mode kicks in. Control Center has been completely redesigned to provide easier access to many of the most commonly used controls. Control Center also now features a multiple-paged layout, so you can swipe between different pages to view your favorite controls, your music or now playing controls, your HomeKit controls, and other system settings. There's also a new Control Center gallery where you can find other controls to add to Control Center, including options from third-party applications. So any third-party developer can now adopt this Control Center API and develop quick actions that can be placed in Control Center or even on the lock screen. Speaking of the lock screen, the camera button and the flashlight button that have been there unchanged for years can now be customized. You can choose any toggle from Control Center to place in those locations, something that is long, long overdue. The Photos app in iOS 18 has received what Apple is calling its biggest redesign ever to make it easier for users to find and relive special moments. Apple says it features a simplified single view that displays a familiar grid of content alongside new collections that helps users browse themes without having to organize content themselves. The Messages app has gotten a number of new features, including all new text effects and support for formatting like bold, underline, italics, and strike through. Tapbacks have been expanded to include any emoji or sticker, so the Tapbacks menu is no longer limited to the original set of 5 different emoji. Messages also now supports scheduling messages, so you can type something out and schedule it to send at a later date. iOS 18 also introduces messages via satellite for the times when cellular and Wi-Fi connections aren't available. The Mail app has new ways to manage your inbox and stay up to date, including on-device categorization that organizes and sorts incoming email into different categories. Safari now offers a feature called Highlights that can surface key information about a web page, as well as a redesigned reader view to offer even more ways to enjoy articles without distraction. There's an all-new Passwords app for the first time, available on iOS 18, iPadOS 18, macOS Sequoia 15, and VisionOS 2. Apple Cash has been updated with a new feature called Tap to Cash that lets users send and receive Apple Cash by simply holding 2 iPhones together. There are also updates to the Notes app, the Journal app, Calendar, Health, and much more, which we'll talk about more over the coming week. Meanwhile, we have iPadOS 18, which includes a few different changes exclusive to the iPad experience. First off, there's a brand new calculator app on the iPad for the first time. This includes a new way to solve with a feature called Math Notes. This allows users to type or write out mathematical expressions and see them instantly solved in their own handwriting. There's also a new feature called Smart Script for Apple Pencil that allows users to write quickly without sacrificing legibility by smoothing and straightening handwritten text in real time. iPadOS 18 also includes all of the same home screen customization options as iOS 18, a new tab bar design for easier navigation throughout all of the system apps on iPad, a redesigned Photos app, upgrades to Messages, new features in Safari, and a customizable Control Center. iOS 18 and iPadOS 18 are both available to developers starting today, with a public beta in July and release to the public in September. We are sponsored this week by iMazing. iMazing is the world's most trusted app for managing iPhones and Apple mobile devices from a Mac or PC. iMazing 3 has been completely redesigned and re-engineered. It features a brand new interface and a revamped user experience, while continuing to offer the core features that have made iMazing a trusted industry standard. There are iOS backup management features, quick transfer for files, messages extraction, advanced data management for businesses and enterprises, and now iMazing 3 also supports Apple Vision Pro. Easily transfer movies and other media for offline use to enhance your Vision Pro experience. You can get iMazing 3 today by hitting the link in the show notes or visiting imazing.com. That's imazing.com. My thanks to iMazing for sponsoring 9to5 Mac Daily. Next up is macOS 15, otherwise known as macOS Sequoia. macOS Sequoia gets many of the same features we've already talked about, including new features for Safari, upgrades to Messages, the new Passwords app, upgrades to Photos, and new features for Apple Notes. Exclusive to the Mac is something called iPhone Mirroring. This is powered by Apple's existing Continuity system, and it lets users fully access and engage with their iPhone right from their Mac. So once you enable iPhone Mirroring, you'll see your iPhone screen on your Mac, and you can interact with it directly. It's essentially a way of letting you do things on your iPhone while you're at your Mac without having to actually have your iPhone near you. macOS Sequoia also adds a new window tiling feature. When a user drags a window to the edge of the screen, macOS Sequoia will automatically suggest a tiled position on their desktop. This is a feature that's been really popular on Windows for a long time, and there are a number of third-party apps on the Mac to enable similar features, but with macOS Sequoia, all of those features are now available natively. macOS Sequoia is now available in developer beta testing, with a public beta in July and a public launch later this fall. And last but not least, we have Apple Intelligence. Apple Intelligence is Apple's branding for a suite of AI features aimed to be powerful, intuitive, integrated, personal, and private. Apple Intelligence features are available across iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and they use a combination of on-device and server-powered generative AI models. There's a lot to digest with Apple Intelligence, but let's just run through some of the features coming to Apple's platforms that are powered by Apple Intelligence. There's a new set of writing tools that allow users to rewrite, proofread, and summarize text basically anywhere throughout iPhone, iPad, and Mac operating systems, including Mail, Notes, Pages, Keynote, and even third-party applications. In the Mail app, there's a new Priority Messages section for urgent emails with summaries and a smart reply option that can easily compose responses on your behalf. There's a new Priority Notifications feature on iPhone that uses Apple Intelligence to automatically show you the most important notifications first, and to summarize key details from your notifications right on the lock screen. There are audio transcription and summarization features that let you record, transcribe, and summarize audio during phone calls, in voice memos, and in Apple Notes. Image Playground is a new feature and a new third-party app that lets you create images using generative AI in three different styles: animation, illustration, or sketch. You give the Image Playground a prompt, elaborate on that prompt, and see what the image generator spits back out at you. There's a new feature, unfortunately titled Genmoji, that lets you generate personalized emoji based on descriptions or photos of friends and family. Those quote-unquote Genmojis can then be used anywhere throughout iOS, just like other emoji. Apple Intelligence is powering new Photos search features, so you can use natural language in the Photos app to search for content. There's also a new cleanup feature that can automatically remove distracting objects while you're editing a photo. Siri can now follow along if users stumble over words, maintain context, and take actions across applications. Apple says Siri is more natural, more contextually relevant, and more personal. Plus, for the first time, you can now type to Siri and easily switch between text and voice communication for whatever feels right in that moment. With on-screen awareness, Siri will be able to understand and take action with user content in more apps. So for example, if a friend texts a user their new address in Messages, the receiver can use Siri to say, "Add this address to their contact card." Siri will be able to deliver intelligence that's tailored to the user and their on-device information. But while all of those features sound useful and sound impressive, Apple says that some of the features will be available in beta later this year, while some of the features won't be available until next year. And last but not least, Apple also confirmed their first ever partnership with OpenAI, integrating ChatGPT throughout iOS 18, iPadOS 18, and macOS Sequoia. Siri can tap into ChatGPT's expertise when helpful. So if a user asks a question, whether via voice or text, and Siri determines that the question would be best answered by ChatGPT, the user will see a prompt confirming that the information will be sent to OpenAI, then the answer will be returned to the user via Siri. So essentially, ChatGPT exists as a fallback for when the user asks Siri a question and Siri doesn't know the answer. Again, the first Apple Intelligence features will start rolling out and beta testing later this year. ChatGPT will come to iOS 18, iPadOS 18, and macOS Sequoia later this year, powered by GPT-4o. All of the Apple Intelligence features will be available for free, including integration with ChatGPT-4o. We've got a ton more coverage of everything Apple announced at WWDC today at the link in the show notes below, and we have a lot more to talk about over the coming weeks as we get more time with these new betas. In the meantime, you can follow along with me on Threads at Chance H. Miller, and we'll be back tomorrow for a new episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily.